Monaco.
His glory and majesty, every eye will see the King.
The King is coming.
His glory and majesty, every eye will see the King. With glory and majesty, every eye will see the King. His glory and majesty. Every eye will see the King.
Your neighbor, will you be ready?
Every eye will see the King.
The King is coming. The King is coming. This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go. The King is coming. For they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The King is coming. You know, a few months ago I was in Israel. I woke up to pray. When I heard these words, the King is coming. And people of God, the King is coming. But also, the King is coming into your situation. He's coming. It doesn't matter how long you've waited, how long you've prayed, how long they've mocked you, how long they've said, where is your King? Child of God, your King is coming, and he's coming big. So
majesty. Every eye will see the King. Let's be seated. Let's open our Bible to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. The Lord gave me that song this morning and I can't get it out of my spirit. And I say, okay, let me start my message with that. And the title for this message this morning, Behold the Bridegroom Coming. Amen. Behold the Bridegroom Coming. And every eye will see him. And the big question is, will you be ready? Matthew 25, I'm reading the first 13 verses. Matthew 25, the first 13 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us your oil. For our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye No, neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you will give understanding. I'm asking you will give illumination. I bring myself behind the cross that your word will be heard. Through me, I will not speak of myself, but the truth of the word to your people. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. My honest prayer this morning, we are still in morning time, and I'll quickly rush through this, is that to every congregation, you will find a foolish, you will find the wise. There is no how large that congregation is or how small the congregation is. There will always be foolish people and there will always be wise. Right? Am I wrong? I'm right. So that's why I pray this morning that the Lord will speak deeply to each of our hearts. that God will come for us this morning. You see, as we were singing the song, to some people, there's something bubbling in them. That yes, the King is coming in his glory and his majesty. To some people, deep inside, it's only God who sees every heart. That, hey, if this God will come now, you have trouble. So God has come for you this morning. So that you will escape that trouble. And my prayer is that the Lord will mobilize our hearts sincerely to get ready. If you carry King James, it's printed in red. That's an indication that this came directly from the mouth of the Master. So it's not a reported speech. And Jesus was responding in this chapter 25 with different scenarios based on the sincere question they ask in chapter 24. That what is it going to be the sign of your coming? And Jesus will not hide anything for anyone. So Jesus said, let's look at that verse 1 again. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Three key things are in that verse. Virgins. When we are talking of virgin, we are talking of someone, especially most of the time, when we hear the word virgin, our mind goes to ladies, right? But there are virgin boys too, young men, right? Well, we don't see them. We do. We have. So which means they are clean. They have not defiled themselves. They have escaped all the temptations that sleep with me, sleep with her. They have escaped it, right? Uh-huh. So they are pure. So Jesus is likening the kingdom of God to believers who claim that I am holy. I am follower of Jesus Christ. I am born again. My sins have been washed away. I now have a clean slate. So that is those people, the virgins, the one who has come out and say we are separated. We live in the world, but we don't belong to the world. We will see that this scripture is not talking about those who are still drunkard. Are they? Can we call drunkard holy? Can we call womanizer holy? Aha. So this is not talking to them at all. Their case is settled. But it's talking to those who are virgins, those who are holy, those who have separated themselves. Those who have said that I am born again. And as I always say it, a lot of people attend redeemed, but they have not been redeemed. And that is what's supposed to be. And if I would say a lot of people attend deeper, they are not deeper. Am I right? So the name of where you belong to does not really matter, but your lifestyle. So my prayer this morning that whoever is foolish among us, we choose to be wise from today. Jesus was not ambiguous about his coming. And when we say the bridegroom is coming, or the bridegroom cometh, then it means that he's going to come. He hasn't come. So when he comes, will you be ready? Thank God in our school system, they tell you, unlike Africa, that you just get to the class, the teacher is teaching. I remember one of my classes, when he's teaching, and all of a sudden, we just come back like this. Share a sheet of paper. Get a sheet of paper, and he will write some. You that have not read last night, you are in trouble that morning. The day that he taught us, you didn't understand. Like people like me, I say, I will understand. I will take time to study later. I'll take time. There are some of you like that. And by the time he give us, and you will see people writing, I say, where did they get the thing they are writing? So don't be surprised on that day that there are some people that the altar of their prayer is burning every day. The light never goes out. They connected to God. They get themselves ready and prepare. So when we say, behold, the bridegroom cometh, we must be prepared. There must be preparation. It's not just the word that we just said that is coming. Without preparing. If you are not preparing, you are among the foolish. The other word I want to look at under verse 1, Matthew 25, verse 1. Which took their, lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So they took their lamps. So it's not a collective taking now. Right? Each of them took their lamps. So, working with God is personal. It is what? It is personal. It's not the issue of me and my spouse, me and my children. If you don't get the understanding that it is personal, it is you that's supposed to take your own lamp, make sure there is oil in it. If you are waiting for somebody to come and help you put oil, you are in trouble. And that's how they responded to them. For it to be enough for me and you. Not to be enough. Because if I share out of mine, both of us will become, will come to trouble, right? Because they don't know exactly what time the bridegroom will come. So they have to make sure that you go and get your own, go and put your own oil. So if you are the type that somebody is still begging you to read the word of God, somebody is still encouraging you to come to Bible study, to come and learn, to come and hear, mercy will reach out to you. Because I've never seen anybody here that, except you are lazy, that they will beg you to walk. Anyone like that? They beg you to go and make money? Huh? None. We voluntarily, we deliberately set out. Even when it's cold. You remember the day we cancel VG here? Some people still go to work, despite that cold. But we can cancel it for God's case, God's issues. God will understand. Right? You are not responding, people. That be true. So, beloved brethren, adequate preparation for the coming of the Lord. Let me tell you what it needs. It needs seriousness. It needs being focused. It needs that you don't allow distraction. It needs that you have all concentration that needed. How many of you will be doing an exam that is timed and someone beside you is saying something and you will now put your pen down and be talking? Will you? You will so concentrate that, no, don't distract me. And that is how you can prepare for the coming of the bridegroom. No nothing should be able to distract you. No need on heart, because sometimes I sit down to think. I don't see any lack in our life that has that capacity that, how do I put my English right? That anything that you need in life that is so much important that you can afford to miss heaven. Tell me, what is it? As important as any need in our lives. Husband, it's not enough. Wife, not even children. Or job that we are talking about. There was this America, God will give us understanding to live here. You better say amen. Before, if you don't get the understanding, this nation will walk you out. Can you imagine a man of 90 years old say, I just stopped working? 90 years old at 60 in Nigeria. You are what? But you become a pensioner. By force. Because I remember there was one woman in our workplace. She turned 60 that time. She still came to work. Pay slip day. No pay slip. Why? They took her name off already. Because they already knew that she's 60. She wants to continue. No more. It's not possible. So there must be adequate preparation for the coming of the bridegroom. Let's look at verse 13 quickly. I'll come back to verse 1. Verse 13 say, watch what? Therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Nobody knows. So if anybody tells you, I remember it was 1977. I believe so, if I remember very well, that they said that Jesus is coming. And people were getting ready in such a way that people who want to go to college to go and read medicine, they said, no, I'm not going because Jesus is coming. And 1977 to now, the child they born that time, he don't marry now. So Jesus said, wherefore, let me hear your version, my assistant pastor, verse 13. Jesus concluded, watch out. Watch out then, because you did not know the day or the hour. As we are seated here, anything can happen. And as I was preparing there, I was thinking that maybe the day that we are dancing, we are giving my daughter to husband, so she wants to marry, Jesus can come. Or maybe when she have a baby and wants to say, congratulations, grandma. And while we are dancing, going grandma, something just happened. Or while we are sleeping. So Jesus said, be watchful. Be ready. Be prepared. Be on alert. So that when he comes, it will not catch you unaware. So if your preparation for the coming of the bridegroom is not on daily basis, there is possibilities for you to miss out. Can someone hear me? If your preparation is not on daily basis, every day you wake up like this, get ready that anything can come. Anything can happen. And we can get to heaven two ways. Either by death or by what? Rapture. So if death comes, nobody except somebody, even someone that is on the sick bed itself, they still struggle, they don't want to die. Abby? Right? They won't want to die. But death is right there beside them to take them. But the truth is that if death comes, closes your eyes, where will you open it? Or you are still fortunate that you are alive and the bridegroom comes. You heard the trumpet. Will you cut off with him with her hair? If you know the date, the possibility of preparing should be there. Will be there that, okay, I can go and do whatever I want to do. So I know that December or January or June or so date, Jesus will come. So I can do anything. So when it's 2 weeks to that time, and that is what some of us do, when it's exam time, you now do night vigil and study and study and study because you know exam is here. So if we know the time the bridegroom will come, we can take that time to do whatever we want to do, gyrate, do whatever, whatsoever. And once it's about 2 weeks or 1 week, you get yourself together. I say, Jesus will soon come, so I need to get ready. You will be among the foolish. If you are saying that Jesus will be gracious, when he's about to come like this, he will just change me. You are what? Foolish. Because that is the trick of the enemy. To think that you still have time. To think that, they have been talking about this Jesus or this why? Because in verse, which verse now? In verse 5, why the bridegroom tarry? They all slumber and slept. You will not sleep. You understand the sleep I'm talking about? You will not slumber. You will not get out of the track. The analogy Daddy always make is so good to me that there is a radar, because I always think, how the aircraft know its way? How does he just navigate through and he just landed? He's following what? Radar. Once he's outside that radar, a calamity. Once you step out of the way, you're in trouble. So for you not to remain among the foolish people, you must prepare day in, day out, so that you don't miss out. Basically, because you don't know the date, the time, the hour. The other thing, in preparation, it requires a lifestyle of watchfulness. You are not careless. You don't just do things because it makes sense to you. You don't just do things because, well, if I don't do it, they will think I'm foolish. In fact, you are foolish if you do it. So in the name of wanting to prove that you are not foolish, indeed you are. So we must be deliberate about our watchfulness. It must be a thing of deliberate, that you are being deliberate about. You are being, you are taking as serious as anything. How many of you take your health serious? Respond. You sure you take your health serious? You don't eat junk, right? You want to stay healthy. So as serious as you take your health, this is more serious than that. So if you don't want to get sick and you are watching it, you are getting it, watch the coming of the Lord. Watch your lifestyle. And there is something, I will still go back to verse 1. I quickly want to say something. I think, is it Psalm? Where is that Psalm that said that goodness and mercy? 23. Let's go there. Psalm 23. Okay, I'm there. The last verse. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell. In the actual verse, some of us, we say it collectively. We say it and it's wrong. And how do you all say it? Help me now. We shall dwell. Thank you, ma. What did the Bible say? I will dwell. So it is personal. But that's not where I'm going. That's a digression. In those days, I can remember very well. You see, this makes me to remember a lot of things this morning. The church where I gave my life to Jesus, those people who the Lord used, their church is called Maranatha. Who have heard that before? Okay. Their church is called Maranatha. They are now matched with Deeper Life now. So that's why when you see me, you think I'm a Deeper Life. I'm not. Amen? Huh? Now, in those days, instead of now that we say goodness and mercy, even the person living in sin, we say goodness and mercy, we follow him. I doubt that. One. Two. In those days, what we say is that, bro, after fellowship, we greet one another and say that make sure that if next meeting is not going to hold, Jesus has come. Make sure I meet you there. Make sure I what? Meet you in heaven. Make sure that you see me where? In heaven. Those are the days. Because we take going to heaven as serious as anything. And that conviction should not change at no point. If you are coming to church, heaven is not your goal. Go and join them there. Amen? And these people, they took it so serious. That's why they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, what will be the sign of your coming? How will we know that you are coming? But Jesus said in verse 13 that the only thing is that you must be watchful, you must be ready, you must be prepared. I will not tell you when I'm coming. It will be like the days of Noah. While Noah was building the ark, thank you, and he was telling people, they said, are you, which kind rain? Unfortunately, there is a song that is coming to our head. I can't sing it. It's in my language. That man was saying that somebody was crying. Noah, you don't know that I'm your uncle? You don't know that? Open the door. The key is in God's hand. As much as I love all of you, if I miss it, can you carry me with you? And as much as I love you, if you don't make it, I can't help you. So the only help that any of us can get is that you prepare, I get ready. Even if my spouse, there was one message I had, Baba Makanju. He said, if you and your husband, come, pretend to be my husband. Come. We hold each other so tight that I know me and my husband is going. If that thing comes, it will just break loose. Bam! Whoever is ready, we fly. Thank you, Okwe, for pretending to be him. So you can't afford to be careless. Tell your neighbor, you can't afford to be careless. Because the bridegroom is coming. In those days, when we have quarrel, you will go and sleep. You make sure you resolve that quarrel. Some of us now for 2-3 days, you will even be you will be snoring. Are you preparing? No, you are not. If you can have somebody in your heart and you don't settle it, you see the hard part of it is that it's even simple. When we have clash and we beg one another, this other one, Jesus said that even when you notice that somebody has something against you, go and ask that person. Isn't it the Bible? You just sense it. You just notice it. You make sure. I've shared it before. When we used to, I've given my life to Christ that time. I was brought up a Baptist. And in one of our young men, you know, we are in Lydia. Those in growth group, we are already getting, we are looking for who to marry and all of that. And there was this particular guy, Kunle. Unfortunately, I married Kunle again. That he will not greet me. I said, when I greet, I have to go and talk to him. That did I offend you? If not Jesus in me, if I'm not born again, who cares? And that is what some of you were doing. When I asked, he said, no, you didn't do anything. It was so-and-so said that I should not greet you. I said, okay, the problem is resolved. You sense that somebody has something against you, you ask. You go and confront them and ask that, what did I do wrong? Once you clear that, you are free. You are preparing, not because you are foolish. You are being wise because you are preparing daily for the coming of the Master. In preparation, you can't afford to lose your guard. You can't afford. You can't lose your guard. And the way, sure way of getting ready daily. How many of you do your quiet time before you come this morning? Just say, today is Sunday. When we get to church, we will read the Bible. Jesus make it clear that all activities will continue. Amen? All activities will continue. It's not that they're just going to stop activities, then you not say, okay, oh, Jesus will come. Mm-mm. It might be the day that we are coming to church like this, or we are sleeping, or things will continue to go on. Preparation for a new job will be there. Preparation for traveling will be there. Preparation for naming will be there. Preparation for wedding will be there. But we just show up. That song say, will you be ready? And I want to tell you affirmatically this morning that nobody enter into heaven by crash program. Mm-mm. You remember when the Lord said to Samuel to go to Jesse's home to go and get ready to anoint the person after his own heart. You know, all his David's brother, they were sanctified. They do quick sanctification for them. That, oh yeah, quick, get ready. Sanctify yourself. Get yourself ready. Da. But the young man, ever ready in the camp or in the field, they said that until he comes, nobody will see them. So that's why David knew clearly when he fell into adultery, he cried, he wept. Where are your tears today? When you see anybody crying now, you'll be looking at, what's wrong with you crying? You are not a crying church. When you see someone want to make his or her life right, straight with God, that's how everybody is doing it now. Do arranging now. If you don't do it, you are not going to settle in this country. Oh. And you see that person want to live right. You are the one encouraging them. That is why the sin of Balaam can never be forgiven. Go and read the book of Revelation. He was the one who caused the Israelites to sin. In one day, 24,000 people died. Am I right? 24,000, right? In Numbers, book of Numbers, yeah. What has never happened in the history of Israel? Because they commit whoredom. And he was the one who showed them. the way how to do it, that we can't conquer these people because there is a lion of the tribe of Judah fighting for them. But if they can commit sin, his eye cannot behold iniquity. So he taught them how to commit sin. And immediately the enemy ravaged them. Beloved brethren, this verse 1. And went forth to meet the bridegroom. So they have made a decision to meet the bridegroom. And that's why you are in church. That's why you come to hear the word of God, to get yourself prepared and ready. In the course of it, God can be gracious and say that I dash you 6 children. God can be gracious and say that it's time for you. Come on, go to the altar. But in the preparation for his coming, if care is not taken, all those things can hinder anyone, anybody at any time. So that's why you can't lose your guard. Something terrified me in the word of God. I believe I've said it here before. And that was one of those things that kept me. Even when I want to go astray, I said, it's in the book of Ezekiel. Let somebody help me if I'm not there. Quickly, Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, 24, if you are there before me. Okay, I'm there. Ezekiel 18, verse 24. But when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and committed iniquity and do it according to all the abomination that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned in trespass, in his trespass that he had trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. Is that not terrifying? That all the deniers that you have denied yourself, maybe you are a young man, and people has winkle eyes to you, say, I don't mind, even though you are married. But you say, no, I want to be pure. Another opportunity for you to steal. He said, no, I am a child of God. But just one day, you lie and you don't repent. It is in that standing that is your finality. So that's how dangerous it is. That's how you can afford not to take your lamp. Beloved brethren, and they took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So why are you in church? Why do you carry Bible? Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. I think it's the book of Luke. Remember Lot's wife. Every opportunity, you know that people have opportunity. You will not miss your own opportunity. You will not waste it. You will not toy with it. You will not take it for granted. Jesus was referring to Lot's wife because she looked back. Tell your neighbor, you can't afford to look back. You can't. You can't afford to look back. Stay focused. Regardless, take focus. It will take care of you. You can't afford to be reckless. I pray the Lord will grant us understanding. that verse 1, it said that they went forth. In another version, they say they went out. They separate themselves. Have you separated yourself? Have you separated yourself from worldliness? From what exactly is supposed to be? Or you are still missing things up? I want to tell you that those who started nicely is good. But the best is to end well. You will end well. There are many good starters. You know how you want to run a race. I was watching baby. There was a thing that they said babies. They put babies to crawl. Uh-huh. You see the baby who crawl to the point. I see that they are beckoning to the baby. Because they can't pull the baby. That would not be you. Almost there, the one that was behind, he outrun the rest. So if you let all the things, personal things that you are seeking daily, be a problem, stand on your way, you are foolish. Those who died yesterday, they will receive bill in their house today or on Monday. Isn't it? They will bring bill to their house until they now tell them that this person is gone. They went out to meet who? The bridegroom. That's verse 1. They went out to meet the bridegroom. Are you among those people who have set out to meet the bridegroom? And if you are, you need to prepare well. You need to get yourself on the track. You need to stay focused. You need to be ready for the coming of the Master. Let's rise in the place of prayer. You see, these people, foolishness were not written on their forehead. Neither being wise is not written on their forehead. You know if you are ready. You know if you are preparing. Talk to the Lord. That the Lord will prepare you. That you make conscious effort to be prepared, to be ready for the coming of the Lord, it will be easy for you. That nothing will stand between you and preparation for the coming of the Lord. Nothing worth it. Nothing worth it. Nothing worth it ever. To stand between you and preparing for the coming of the Master. We are ready that they slept. But suddenly, the Master came. Will you be ready when the Master comes? Will you be prepared? What are the things that you are putting together to make sure you are ready for the coming of the Master? Talk to the Lord this afternoon that, Lord, help me. Lord, release grace into my heart. Capture my heart, Lord. Help me to give your coming a priority over every other thing. Make sure you are talking to the Lord. You can't afford to miss it. They are set for the bridegroom, but alas, some are foolish. Are you among the foolish? You want to say, Lord, help me. Help me remove all some of folly out of my life, foolishness. Whip it away out of my life. If you are the type that procrastinates, you are likely to miss it. If you procrastinate obedience, you are likely to miss the coming of the bridegroom. Talk to the Lord this morning. The Lord, help me. Lord, I need your grace. Whatever is standing between me and my preparation, take it out of my way, Lord. Because the Lord Jesus will come in his glory and his majesty. And he's not going to be partial about it. On that day when he appears, he will deal with you according to that record you have at that particular time. So I've been doing good 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I've been born again. It's become a story. Pray, Lord, let me stay ready. Let me stay prepared. Let me stay ready. Let me stay prepared. Talk to the Lord. Receive grace to be ready and to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. That the coming of the Lord will not meet you unawares. Your case will not be like that of lost wife who look back. Lord, help me to stay focused. Help me to get ready at all times. All this folly in my life, remove them, deliver me, set me free. He has the power and the capacity to do that, to set the captive free. You know the area where you are weak. You know the area. Stop procrastinating it. Stop deferring it. Let the Lord deal with it today. Let the Lord deal with it today. Let the Lord deal with it today. That God, I've come for your help. That Lord, in your mercy, you will help me. Ask for his help. Ask for his help. He's ready to help you. He's ready to strengthen you. You can't afford to look back. You can't afford to be carrying your oil, your lamp with no oil in it. And you get oil when you go to the presence of God on a daily basis. So if you are there, they still beg you to read the Bible, to pray daily, to make yourself pure. You are in the list of the foolish. Will you plead for mercy to remove you from that list? Plead for mercy to release you from that mist, that list of the foolish people that you want to be among the wise. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil. My lamb, I pray. Give me oil in my lamb. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the end of the day. Give me oil. Sing it prayerfully to the Lord, that the Lord will give you oil. Oil that will be sufficient. Grace that will be sufficient to stand in preparation and readiness for the coming of the bridegroom. Keep me burning till the end of day. Father, humbly we come asking for your help. That, Lord, you will send help our way, O God. That none of us will walk outside the radar of God. Nothing will be too big to pursue than at the expense of preparing for your coming. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray.